This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Well, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.835 megahertz, the 2-meter repeater of the Venture Cruise 7373 Amateur Radio Club. The repeater is located in Pearl River, New York, and serves northern New Jersey, lower Hudson Valley, and southwestern Connecticut. All stations are welcome to operate and participate in the net. You need not be a Barron member to participate. All are welcome. Further, this net is about having a conversation about amateur radio, about electronics, computers, telecommunications, and natural sciences that underlie our hobby, the technology that underlies it, and of course, our operating experiences, things we've done, things we aspire to do, and things we never want to do again. And finally, it's always a good opportunity to post equipment for sale, swap, or even wanted, and you're welcome to do so. We do encourage you to participate even if you have nothing to contribute, because by checking in, we at least know how to tailor the net to an audience. Lacking a known audience, we can't really do a very good job of tailoring the net, so I'm sure you understand and can sympathize with the challenge. So we look forward to your checking in. So, we also have a support group, a Yahoo group called ComTech Group. CEO Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa, ComTech Group, all smushed together on Yahoo Groups. It's a closed group, so you won't get any spam. So, with no further ado, stations whose call signs begin with Alpha, please call K2BAR. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter November, please call K2BAR. Okay. Let's try for the ever popular Kilo.
Net control. Kilo 2 Lima Alpha X-ray.
Okay, John, anything you want to post for the net?
No comment at this time.
Roger, thank you. Any other kilos?
KD2CRB. Calling K2BAR. Stu, New Milford, New Jersey. With a
Is that a comment or a question, Stu?
Comment, and a question.
Okay, something happened to your audio, but I got comment, and question. So I'm assuming you have three different items. And you're welcome to do so in good time. We'll get to you. Any other kilos? Okay, how about whiskeys?
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, Bob again, and found another way of doing antenna mistake, so over.
Okay, Bob, I got you down for a comment. Anybody else? Alrighty. Well, I guess we'll jump right into it. KD2CRB, your comments and then question.
KD2CRB, K2BAR, I just wanted to say that I had a very good, nice time at the HandFest fest at Westwood High School, and I found it very, very enjoyable. I was able to pick up some tools and what have you. Back to net.
Funny you should say that. I picked up a couple of small diagonal cutters myself. And a Motorola speaker that was in a plastic one that was in really nice shape. And then some jumper cables and the length I needed for my antenna project. And last but not least, I also picked up some 2-inch UHF feed-through barrel connectors. So that was kind of good, too. No complaints. Anything else you want to add to that, Stu?
No, just, like I say, I had a very nice time and was able to really find some nice stuff back in that.
Yep, absolutely. I had a good time as well. John, were you able to make it down to the net? I mean, down to the Hamfest?
No, I couldn't make it. I was tied up. Over.
Understood. Anybody else? I thought I could use the topic to weasel someone out of the woodwork. All right, very good. Stu, do you have another comment or a question?
Yes, I have a question. This is regarding the Biano Power lithium iron phosphate battery. I'm looking at one. It is 12 volt, capacity 3 AH. It is in a PVC pack, and I was wondering, I'm a little nervous about something like that. Are they susceptible to catching on fire? Back to net.
A lot less than other lithium batteries on a couple of scores. Chemistry is a little different than what's commonly used in the stuff that usually spontaneously lights up. Number one. Number two, the battery is a hard shell battery, and I would encourage you to get the hard shell battery and not the the one that's shrink wrapped. I think you'll find that to be very fine. Just for reference, I have not one but two Biano power batteries. I have the older 17 ampere hour, which comes in the same case as what they sell a 20 ampere hour for now. And I also have a 40 ampere hour, which I have the tall one, which is just a little wider than that. And about the same dimensions overall, but just a little wider. And I found it to be delightful. Sure. Just curious, what's your application that you think you're going to use an 80 ampere hour pack for?
Okay. I don't know whether this is the way to go, but searching it in the right direction.
What rig?
Stu, are you using a speaker mic?
Yeah, let me drop, and I'm going to take the speaker mic off. All right, hold on a second.
It's not making consistent contact is the problem.
W2SE with a comment.
Bruce, welcome. Go ahead, Bruce.
Okay, I was going to wait for Chris to get all his wiring redone so he could hear my response, because I'm running BioNO also, and I'm wondering what rig he has.
It's Sue, but that's okay.
Oh, sorry, I've focused on another cue, so I just had a few minutes ago.
Take a look. RT-8800. Back to you.
Is that a mobile rig?
Yeah, it's a mobile ring.
Okay, and expecting 13.8 volts or something similar?
Yes, at least so, yes.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Okay, the BioNO battery that you're looking at is a four-cell, probably two in parallel. So 4C2P. Its average discharge voltage is going to be somewhere in the area of 13.2 down to about 12 volts throughout almost the entire life of the cell. It's got an internal battery protection circuit that handles overcharge, undervolt, short circuits and overloads. You really can't hurt that battery pack. I recommend their own in charger. I run a 6-amp battery. I am using the shrink wrap. I put it in a foam case to give it some padding. And I take it mountain topping. I love it, and they've been very good about support.
They really are. But I want to make the case for the hard case battery, if you can stomach it, because every little bit of protection helps. You just don't want to take some of those cross straps and in any way bang into them. And, you know, the shrink wrap, the possibility it is very, very high that you could do that. Stu?
Yeah. All right, thank you. Because I reached out to call the Biomet, and they were recommending this battery model BLF1203. I have the whole specs here that I printed out, and when I was telling them what I wanted to do, and they were pushing me into that direction. But I'll look into the hard shell.
The 1203, that sounds like a 3 ampere hour pack. I mean, 3 ampere hour pack, is that right?
Yes. That's right. 12 volt, 3 amp. Their specs are consumes less than 84 watts continuous. Max power delivered 12 volt, 84 watts. And 12 volt by, I'm sorry, 6 amps. 84 watts. I'm reading off the specs. Back to you.
So you only want to operate for about, you know, an hour or so. Is that the idea?
Yeah, that would be the idea, yes.
Hey, how many watts is that radio?
I think it's like 40 or 50 watts, isn't it, Stu?
That's correct. Back to Matt.
I would be inclined to go for the 4.5 ampere hour battery or the 6 ampere hour battery for the higher powered radios. The KX3, my 6 amp hour BioNO, will run the KX3 all day long. Intermittent soda. As far as protection, Gordon, mine is in a foam case that covers it all the way around, and it's inside a backpack, so I'm not really concerned about damage to the battery. The battery just lives in the foam case at all times. It's a repurposed case from an old MP3 player.
No, I have seen yours. It's very nice. It's just, I have one of the A123 packs from Buddy Pole. And I got to tell you that I had one of those sitting on my desk for 6 months, no problem. I picked it up, handed it to Bill, KB2OCJ, who was sitting in my office, and he was examining it. It got warm while he was in that movement. Hands it back to me, and I went, yep, you're right, it's getting warm. I ran it out the door and watched it essentially catch fire. So I don't use shrink wrap packs, period, anymore. The replacement pack that they sent me lives in foam, like yours, inside of a, you know, pretend 50 caliber ammo can.
Okay. One other comment. The lithium ion, lithium poly, those batteries are much more prone to bursting and then going into flames. Also, they have a higher, which means if you put four of them in series, you're over 16 volts, which will exceed the capacity of the rig, which means you've got to put some kind of a dropping device in there, like two diodes in series, at the appropriate amperage. If you put three of them in series, roughly three times, I think it's 4.2 volts is the full charge on those things. It's a little over 12, but it doesn't last, and you're quickly down to 11 volts and change. And then the radio may continue to work. Some radios will cut out because they really need 12 volts minimum. I'm not a fan of lithium iron, lithium poly or lithium ion, at least not for mobile type radios. For other applications, love them, but not for mobile radios. Over.
No, I would agree. I use it with to power HTs and USB devices. So your point's well taken. It's a frightening little device. That's why it lives in a steel box. Just for that reason. Yes, they were kind enough to replace it, but the I don't trust it ever again. So, to your other point, I do run it with other devices, you know, with essentially to charge lower power devices. Because it's only a 10 ampere hour pack, but it runs a really long time. I will run it through a boost regulator to act as a reserve for my laptop, which runs 50 volts. And that's another convenient thing about it. But again, I don't depend on it for anything. Gotta be, rock solid all the time. The chemistry of the batteries and the protection circuits were not what was at issue. It was the mere fact that they have those mechanical cross straps that got bumped, shorted to a case, and that's how it all lit up.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to bump mine in my protective wrapping, so I'm comfortable with it. Who is the vendor on the bad battery, Gordon?
All right, so the cells are provided by A123, but BuddyPole is the source.
Okay, and that didn't have a protection circuit in it?
It did, but by virtue of the fact that it's a shrink-wrap battery, those straps can get bumped by definition. They can, if you think about it, you can misalign the cells in a bumping situation, or even a heating situation, but in this case a pumping situation, over time, and it doesn't take much. And my gut feeling is it was probably a combination of a very minor movement and probably some careless soldering, would be my guess.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, the BioNO are spot welded to the cells with strapping, and those things don't move, and the pack does not budge. And then I've got it in the wrapper. I don't worry about fire on this particular pack. In fact, it's on the charger 24/7 right now. It's running a KX3. It just sits there. It doesn't overcharge. It doesn't anything. It's just happy. It stays cold. Stays cold in use. The only thing is the charger's a little bit noisy. The rig makes some noise on certain bands. And if you run the DC power cord through a choke a couple of times, problem solved. It's clean as a whistle.
Yeah, I do the same thing here. Yep. But I still wouldn't trust it. Not in a million years. And I said soldering, but they were probably, they are spot welded. But there's probably solder applied to, because if you remember in the BioNO power case, and my guess is that the same will go with the BuddyPole pack, the old circuit board to provide regulation and protection and the like. So bad things can happen. I just don't think it's a good idea to use shrink wrap anything in a field environment, period, flat, the end. And, the extra little bit of caution and the extra, ounce of weight is worth the peace of mind. Stu?
Yeah, I'm going to adjust this. There is a BioNO hard shell that I've been looking at, and let me see if it matches up for my radio, and I'll reach out to BioNO and go from there. All right, thank you for your input. Back to Matt.
Yeah, I'm just a little passionate about the subject because I've actually had to run like a maniac and packed in my hand running it out the door before it flamed up. Bruce?
Yes, Joe, just suggest 4.5 or 6 amp hour battery might be better for the higher power radios.
Yeah, in fact, I'll be even more blunt. Whatever you're willing to lug and or pay for, buy that.
Incidentally, I have run a mobile 100 watt radio on the 6 amp hour battery that I have running full power output, and I'll get a SOTA activation out of it.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great idea. I bought the 17 before they had the 20, and but if you want something lighter, I mean, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 amp hour might be something to consider. How long do you want to operate with this thing, Stu? And is it just for, like, taking it to the park type stuff, or is this something that you want to actually have for emergency use?
Yeah, good question. Well, I'm going to start taking it to the park. And then...
your first sentence.
Take it to the park. I would most likely take it to the park. Back to net.
And that was Q5. Okay. Yeah, you were dropping out after that when the first time you said it, so I'm not sure why, but okay. Very good. Anybody else for a comment?
K2LAX.
John?
Yeah, I was listening to the battery thing. I use the WPS Featherweights. I've had really good luck with them. They come in a case. I mean, it's basically a motorcycle battery, lightweight lithium. And I run, it's a 3 amp hour. I run it all day with a 817 with a 50 amp power pack amp over.
50 ampere hour? Yeah, was that 50 ampere hour, John?
No, just 3 amp hours, and I have a solar backpack thing that I, when it's sunny, it'll keep the battery charged between transmissions, almost full charge, so I never run out of battery power, and it's really lightweight. It weighs less than, I don't know, probably about 12 ounces, over.
I see. Do you use soda activations as well?
Say that again.
Do you do summits on the air as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, excellent. Okay, that's cool. All right, anybody else?
I got another little comment.
Bruce.
Okay, the 817 and the KX3 are both radios that have a very low receive current draw. They don't have a lot of audio output as a result. KX3 is about 200 mils. If the 817, if memory serves, is 250 to 300, maybe a little bit higher. Your mobile rig, Stu, is probably going to be closer to an amp. The mobile rigs tend to have a lot more audio amplifier in them, and it is a Class A amp, so it chews up a lot of power. That's where most of the battery power goes when you're listening. It just starts drawing down on the battery. So if you look, iron phosphate is absolutely the chemistry to pick in terms of safety, but also in terms of the best voltage output for mobile-type rigs, W2SE.
I would agree. John, is the source that you get from iron phosphate, or is it something else?
I believe it's a poly, but there's no reports of any problems with the battery.
What's wrong on poly?
What's that, Bruce?
Lithium ion, lithium poly, the voltage is wrong.
I'm sorry, wrong for what?
For a mobile rig that's typically looking for something in the high 12-volt, 13-volt range.
We're fine with my rig.
17 will run lower voltage, Bruce.
A lot of rigs, the ASUS and a few others, are known to cut out when the supply voltage gets low. One of the internal regulators to the 9-volt bus isn't low dropout in the original design, then cuts out and the radio shuts down.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, I wouldn't have that. The 817 runs down to 11 volts without any problem, and the power amp that's piggybacked to it, I don't think it'll run on 12 volts, too.
Well, lithium ion, lithium poly, they are nominally at about 3.7 volts per cell. So three cells in series is 11.1 minus probably a series diode protection drop. You could be at half battery capacity and that thing will cut out on you.
Roger, it shows 13.6 volts on the 817 voltmeter.
Oh, in which case you probably got lithium iron phosphate.
Okay.
Yeah, lithium iron phosphate, otherwise known as LFP.
Good point. Good point. All right. Anything else on this topic from anybody? Okie doke. So, Stu, did you have another a question or comment?
NJ2BS. Repeat.
No, Gordon, that's it. Sue, KT2CRB.
Well, that was very good, and thank you all for participating. That was fun. Alrighty, let's see what else is going on. Probably next month I'm going to finally get around to, but after the VHF contest, but probably before Field Day, but not probably in time for Field Day, I'm going to get my Microbitics transceiver underway. I've had it for a few months, and it's time to get that rocking. So I'm looking forward to that. It's an Arduino-based transceiver, and it should be fun to get moving. I'm going to do mine breadboard style first, and then we'll see what happens. Any other questions, comments, confusions for the net tonight?
New topic?
Sure.
I'm just wondering if anyone listening has any experience running a Raspberry Pi with Raspbian and Direwolf.
I see one guy locally endlessly beaconing that he's running Direwolf. I forget who it is. But I could keep an eye out on my APRS display and get that station's call sign for you.
Where is he located? I can watch him on APRS.fi.
He's somewhere in New Jersey, but I just forget where. I want to say it's a kilo 2x3.
Okay, I'll take a look. I can find him just as easily, Gordon.
Okay. Yeah, he definitely beacons fairly often. I do see it on my display from time to time.
And I'm looking to put up an RX-only iGate to cover part of the Pascack Valley. I'm a little frustrated by the current coverage. And I got the device, I got the RTL dongle coming and a few other things, so I'll see what I can come up with. I'll let you know.
What are you going to use? Oh, I see. You're just going to use it to receive?
Roger. Receive-only iGate and feed into the APRS network telemetry information. Messaging, etc. W2SE.
That's a good idea. Maybe we should, a bunch of us should do that. That's a good idea, Bruce. Well, let me know what pieces. I have Raspberry Pis of various types, and I have, the RTL receivers, so that's no problem. I might even have a spare somewhere if I dig around. But as I mentioned during the previous net, I do keep one in my backpack for work, along with an antenna dongle. Every so often, I just need to be able to prove something exists, and then I can, you know, use that as a reason to bring in, should we say, more appropriate equipment for, you know, hunting things.
Roger, W2SC. I just want to catch you offline, Gordon. You may have some information that can help me jumpstart my little program here. I've got a Pi 2B
an RTL 820 T2 dongle coming, and I just want to throw Raspbian and Direwolf on it. There are pre-built images already set to go. I just have to add the configuration, and I'm not worried about that. I'm just unfamiliar with setting up a Pi, and I'm looking to shortcut things and jumpstart. The language they use on all the forums and notes that I've seen is a little confusing based on my background.
Well, you know, like having to build an image using some of the weird tools?
No need for me to build an image or assemble or link or do anything else. The images are there and downloadable in zip files. I just don't understand what it takes to put them on a micro SD card and start the thing up.
Windows 32, it's a beautiful thing.
Let's talk offline when we get a chance, maybe Kit Knight.
Okay, with a little luck, I should be there on Tuesday. As long as Nancy has meetings on Tuesdays in Garfield, I should be able to get there without too much trouble like I did this past week. All right. By the way, do you need a Pi 2 or a Pi 3, or will it run on an original Pi?
The reading I've been doing, and there are images that run a regular Pi, I've got a 2B, which should be more than enough. And I've got the dongle coming. I'm just waiting for the various postal services to get their act together. And I'll be there this Sunday, too, if you're going to attend that meeting, the monthly meeting.
Yeah, I'll definitely be at the meeting on Sunday night. That won't be a problem. And, yeah, the reason I was asking is because that would be a really good use of an old Raspberry Pi, and I've got a couple of old Raspberry Pis that just, you know, they need a hobby. You know, a passive application like that would be perfect for them. Lordy, lordy. All right. It's been a long day. Anybody else? Okie dokie. Any new topics? All right, folks, I'm going to say 73. Thank you for a lively net tonight. And I appreciate your participation. And I'm going to putter here in the shack for a couple of minutes, and I'll be listening on 442 probably. And also on DMR, TAC 310 probably. So 73, and have a good one. This is WU2TTT K2BAR. Securing the net and returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use.
KD2CRB 73.
73.
73, Gordon, W2SE.
73, K2LAX.
Gordon, I'll send you the link to the pre-built image in the process later, W2SE.
NJ2BS, repeat.
W2UHF, repeater. This is Ann Wolfen, repeater system.
This is the NJ2BS, repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS, repeater. Use PL151.4.
W2TTT, W2SE. W2TTT from W2SE.
NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS, repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat.
W2UHF, repeater. This is an open repeater system.
This This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. Use PL151.4.